Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want us to look at something this morning. You know, do you recognize this about much of humanity, that we tend to remember, and the things that stick out in our mind are usually the bad things? You ever notice that? The negative things? We focus on the stuff that's not right all the time. You ever notice that? And I want us to talk about that. I want to talk about remembering the right events. And it can be even in simple things. You know, it was just about a week ago, just over a week ago, July 10th. July 10th is a very important date to me. Okay, every year for the last 23 years. July 10th was a really important date, because it is the anniversary date of when I proposed to my wife. And so July 10th, I always get her a card and get her a little gift. And this year I took her to a romantic breakfast at the Coach House. Right here in Sparta. If you don't know where the Coach House is, you're missing out. I love going to that place for breakfast, okay? I do. I love going to that place for breakfast. They've got good breakfast food. And not that I don't, you know, recommend their lunch. I just always go for breakfast. Took her out for a romantic breakfast at the Coach House. I walked in. I told her to meet me there. I walked in with a little gift all wrapped up and walked in with a nice, is it a Gerber daisy? Is that, I'm looking over here because you guys probably, it's kind of big and it was like a pink or dark pink or fuchsia or something like that. Yeah, Pat, you're going, yeah, right, whatever. Gerber daisy all wrapped up with some greens, and walked in and set it down in that beautiful dining atmosphere at the Coach House. And walked in the morning, and Mariah, I don't know if you know Mariah, she cooks most of the time, but she was waiting tables that day. I walked in with that before Sue got there, and she goes, oh, for me. And she said, well, wishful thinking, you know, she said. I told her what it was for, and Sue came in, and we celebrated over breakfast. That's an important event. And, you know, since we've been married, not every day's been full of bliss. I mean, she married me. You know, certain days have their downfall. And it's not without challenges, and it's not without frustration. But you know what? I remember back to that day. That was an important event. Instead of focusing on, you know, the challenges or the expectations or different things that disappoint, it's not that I ignore those things. They're real and they need to be resolved, but I've got to remember the important events. I've got to entertain the right things. July 11th, the next day, is a very important day in my life. July 11th has been an important day in my life for the last 16 years. And I just picked these dates because they're just recent. July 11th was my son's birthday. And it was not in the same year, by the way. Okay, remember that July 10th was for 23 years. July 11th was for 16 years, okay? I just thought, oh, July 10th, wow, yeah, okay. I thought some of you missed the years and you were doing the math going, whoa. Yeah, I remember that day. We were living in Bloomington. He was born in the hospital in Minneapolis. And I remember Sue and into labor, we went. Now, we had three little girls, you know, and we were told that this was going to be a boy. And he came out. He was a boy. And the interesting thing was, is he was born late afternoon, early evening, something like that. I was traveling at that time. I was on staff at North Central University, one of our AG schools, and I was also traveling and preaching full-time, doing youth camps and youth conferences and traveling around. Well, that Monday that he was born was the opening night of a camp I was supposed to go and preach. And I was like, love you guys, I want to be here. Can you hurry this up a little bit? Now, that's just being a man dancing in two worlds. Don't think it's just having a baby. It's not like it's a big deal. It's not like there's any pain involved or anything. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, my wife's not here. She is on her way back from Colorado. I'm out of reach right now. And I remember him being born and staying around the hospital, and I called the camp and said, we're having a baby. I use that kind of loosely. I know that she's the one going through it all. So we're having a baby, and I don't know if I'm going to make it there tonight. I'm not going to make it there. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you, and I'll keep you posted. And Brock was born, and Sue was saying, you got to go preach this camp. I said, well, you know, you're the priority and our family, and, you know, I'll stay. What do you want me to do? She says, no, we're all fine. Everything's okay. You know, would you go preach this camp? And so we started service that night. I don't know if it was like 10 or 11 at night. I just said, I'm coming. We're having service. Just delay it. And so I drove from Minneapolis to somewhere in northern Wisconsin. It was Solon Springs is where their campground is. You've been up to Solon Springs? And I remember these important events. They were good events. Things that encourage my soul. Things that cause me to look at God and say, God, thanks so much for bringing these events into my life that I can look back on. And when times get challenging or times get tough, you know, we tend to look at what's wrong, what's bothering us, what doesn't work out. We've got to look back at important events that are related and say, you know, that's a good event. God was faithful. God brought us through. What a great moment. And we've got to remember those things. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. And you be honest with yourself before the Lord. What is your tendency? To just look at the things that aren't going well, the things that just don't seem to change and they're just undone and they're unfinished, things that just constantly frustrate you, things that take you away and rob you of the opportunities to celebrate that which is good. You know, it's important that as God begins to and continues to move in our life and move in this church, that we remember the things that he's done and the things that are good, the things that are right. Hey, listen, when we look at God moving in this church, we should be able to celebrate that and talk about that. It doesn't mean it's a perfect church. It doesn't mean that it covers up the deficiencies of the pastor or something in some program that's not, you know, up to your satisfaction or what your expectations are or your disappointments. We understand this is not a perfect church. This is a church that's coming along. I believe we're moving in the right direction and God's helping us. But don't let frustrations and things rob you from the good experience that you can have with God and God's people by just focusing on the bad and letting it rob you. Let's remember the important things. Let's remember the good things. Some of you need to remember back to the time when this land was bought and this building was built. Some of you have been around long enough, Mars, not to point anybody out, could tell story upon story of God's goodness and faithfulness and where the church was and where it moved to and what happened and all these different things. And those are great things to remember, to draw encouragement, because we understand that God is not a tease. He's done these things not to all of a sudden drop us, quit, stop. It's not who he is. It's not in his nature. I want to encourage you in your personal life. Let's remember the right events. Let's remember the good things. It doesn't mean we ignore the things that are bad. yeah, they need attention. They need to be taken care of. But here's the question. What is on your mind? Are you remembering the right events? I want you to look with me in Joshua chapter 1. And I'm going to go to some different verses. And I want you to recall Joshua. Joshua, of course, he's with God's people. They've come out of Egypt. They've been part of the Exodus. If you've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, you know, the great Exodus and coming out of being slaves and how God delivered them and brought them out. And then they go to make their trek, their journey to the promised land that God was giving them. And, of course, that was quite a journey. And as they got free, some of them started to forget about the slavery and how bad it was. And they started to look at, rather than how God brought them freedom, the challenge of the journey. They started to murmur and complain. They started to long to go back to that which they were so grievous and bothered by. Well, now they go through the journey, and here's Joshua. He's experienced this. He's watched this. He's been with Moses. He watched God's deliverance. He watched how God's people responded and reacted and complained and murmured and how they did things right. And he remembered how God, you know, appeared to them in a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day and water coming from a rock and quail coming in for, you know, food and manna from heaven. And here's Joshua, and he has all these things to experience and remember. And now he's going to be the leader of God's people into the promised land. And God talks to him. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, I want to read this to you because here are some keys for us. Joshua, verse 8, chapter 1. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God said to Joshua, remember the right things. That's what he's saying to him. Don't let this book of the law, my word, don't let it depart from your what? Mouth. I think that's kind of interesting. I mean, he talks about meditating, and we'll get there on this second key. But the first thing is you know, when we remember what God has done and what his word says, it's not supposed to just abide inside us. It's supposed to come out of our mouth. Out of our mouth. That we're supposed to speak what God has done, what God desires, what God's will is, what God is doing. That's what's supposed to be coming out of our mouth. And we know the things that come out of our mouth come from where? From within us. The things that you and I think about, that we entertain, things that we constantly go over in here, it starts to come out in our attitude, our countenance, our actions, and our words. And God says, Joshua, you're leading my people into the promised land. Here's the deal. You've been part of this journey. I want you to remember the right things. And first and foremost, meditate on my law, my words, my promises, the things I have done. Meditate. Think about those things. And as you think about those things, you make sure that they come out of your mouth. And I don't want to get sidetracked with the whole teaching here, but that word mouth is very important. And I don't want to, I could teach on this, and it's been a little bit on Wednesday nights. By the way, if you don't come here on Wednesday nights, I've been doing a series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of tongues as related to the book of Acts chapter 2, all our hang-ups, inhibitions, is it biblical, is it not biblical, what happens, how's it happen, all of these things. And I'll tell you, Christianity, and certainly Pentecost, and the Pentecostal experience is a very audible and oral faith. And I don't want to, I'm going to start going there. I don't want to go there. But it's really good. And it's interesting that it says, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. You understand that we're supposed to talk about what God's word says, what God has done. Marlene coming up this morning and telling you about what God has done. What things do you remember that God has done? What things do you remember from his word? Understand that that is not supposed to be just an internal thing. It's supposed to come out of our mouth, because this whole word mouth relates directly to sword or authority. We lose a lot of that in our English language, but most other cultures in the world, there's a correlation in their language and about what word and sword and authority and how all of that flows. That every time we speak his word, because his word is what? Living and active, right? That's what the scripture says. It's living and it's active. And every time that we speak his word, every time we testify of his goodness, because we've thought about it, it's inside us and we're letting it come out. This is very important for us, and so important that as Joshua leads God's people into the promise, he says, hey, Joshua, you speak my word. Here, how does that relate to our life? What promises have God given you? My question is, have you been speaking that promise? Have you been speaking his word? See, as a Christian, you're not supposed to be silent. Now, it doesn't mean you got to, you know, but you're supposed to proclaim his word. You're supposed to speak his word. And you know what? Self-talk, I'm just telling you, self-talk is a great thing. I'm telling you, self-talk is a great thing if you're saying the right stuff. You know what self-talk is, because you've talked yourself out of a lot of things. You've talked yourself right into doubt. You've talked yourself into being safe. You've talked yourself, you know, this way, that way, just, you know. But if we start proclaiming God's word to ourselves, because we meditate on it day and night. Listen, here's the thing. You know, we proclaim his word. We're supposed to let his word be in our mouth. It says we're supposed to meditate on his word day and night. It doesn't mean that Joshua doesn't have anything else to do. It just means that his thoughts throughout the day, randomly throughout the day and out the night, he's thinking about God and about God's word, about God's promises, about God, what God has done. See, that's a life of devotion. So many of us try to compartmental God into 15 minutes of our day. Get up, grab, you know, God's word for today or some other booklet, and those things are good and they're right. Don't get me wrong. But say, you know, I pray, I read it for 15 minutes, hallelujah, pray again, and I'm done. I'm done. I meditated on God's word for 15 minutes, and I'm done. Those 15 minutes are important, or 10 minutes, or hour, whatever it is. But what about the rest of the day? We got stuff to do. Listen, I've got other stuff to do. We all have responsibilities. And God is saying, Joshua, you proclaim my word. Let it be in your mouth. But you meditate on my book of the law, my words, day and night. Listen, you can do other things and allow your mind to meditate on his word and who he is and what he's done. I mean, you cannot tell me that everything you do every day and every night involves such focused concentration that you can't think about something else. I know that that's just not true. There's moments that you've got to be really focused. There's other times that you're doing stuff that your mind is somewhere else. Right? It's the same thing. Joshua, you meditate. You think about my word day and night. You think about what I've done, and you proclaim it. And if you do this, you'll be successful. You'll be successful in what I've called and wanting you to do. This is not just for Joshua. This is for any of us. And I want you to know, are we remembering the right things? Are we talking about the right things? You look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Many of you know these verses. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about those things. Think about the things that are good. They're pure, they're noble, they're right. Think about those things. We are so drawn to continue to think about the things that are bad, the things that are rotten, the things that are troublesome, the things that we're aggravated about. And all of a sudden, you know, we're just so wrapped up in this. Look at verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received from me, as Paul's writing this, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Listen, you want God's peace to be with you? Now let his word come out of your mouth, and you start disciplining your thought life. I start disciplining my thought life on what I am choosing to think about. Am I thinking about that which is right, and that which is lovely, and that which is admirable, and that which is pure? Am I thinking on those things? Am I dwelling on those things? When we dwell on those things, we're going to know the peace of God. The peace of God that passes understanding. And when he writes the peace that passes understanding, it means this, that we're in a circumstance, a situation, that we should not have any peace whatsoever. And yet, we have a peace. I don't get it. That passes understanding. Follow? So when we're in things and we're in real life, what are we dwelling on? What's coming out of our mouth? What are we thinking about? You want to be people of the Spirit. You want to be people of revival. You want to be people of spiritual awakening. Well, I'll tell you what. If you keep focusing on negative, bad things, corrupt things, listen, if that's all you're thinking about, that is all that you're going to see. And you go where you look. That's the way we are. I'm not talking about ignoring, neglecting, suppressing the negative things that happen in life. No, we acknowledge them. We're going to walk through them. With God's help, we're going to solve them. But we're not going to let those things paralyze us and rob us. You see, it's about looking at what God says, remembering who he is, looking at what he's doing and what he wants to do, proclaim those things. Think about those things. Dwell on those things. Meditate on those things. And you will have perfect peace. Peace of God. Even in the middle of a big challenge in life. You see, when we don't meditate on what's right, it robs us. And it robs us to the point that even though we wear the label Christian, we no longer look like one. Because we're so filled with all the negative thoughts and remember all the bad and all this and all that. It robs us of praise. When you remember the good things of God, it leads you right to praise, doesn't it? You think about what God has done and who he is and his word, you just, whew, that's good. Oh, yeah. And I'm not talking about an emotional hype. I'm talking about a soulish stability that is based upon God who is true in his word. It leads us right to praise. And when we praise, it comes from what? It comes from a heart that we're grateful. We think upon the good things, we become a grateful people. We become a people who are vocal, and we praise, and we honor, and we give allegiance because he's worthy. Here's the other thing. When you do that, you get pretty happy. You're filled with praise and gratitude, you get pretty happy. Trust me. You get joyful. even in the middle of stuff that's going on in life that you just really hate, and it bugs you. But you know what? You recognize it, but those things are not going to master you. If we start to lose our voice of praise to God, we begin to lose our gratitude. We're robbed of joy, and robbed meaning we really gave it away because he purchased it for us. And if we don't have it, it means we gave it away. And the way we give it away is we start looking and focusing on all the things that are bad and all the things that have happened to us and all the people we can blame and all the and the list goes on and we just go over it and over it. And our self-talk continues and all of a sudden we don't feel good about us. We don't feel good about anybody else. We don't feel good about God. And this whole thing has mastered us and consumed us. And the thing is, Jesus set us free from that. He purchased it. It's ours. And we say, well, how come I don't have it? Because you gave it away. You and I give it away. That's a choice. Listen, the things you think about, you can stop yourself at any time, right? You're thinking about something, you can stop it. You can interrupt yourself. God's Spirit can help you interrupt yourself. Well, and as you're going on, all of a sudden your mind drifts back to it. You can catch yourself. You and I choose what we're going to think about and what we're going to meditate on. We do. We choose what we're going to say. And what's going to come out of our mouth. And it's not just what's coming out of our mouth in the technological day that we live. It's what we're putting on the computer. It's what we're putting on a blog. Oh, wait, blogs are ancient, right? Facebook. Thanks. Obviously, I don't Facebook. You Facebook. In fact, somebody was just talking to me before the service. Oh, last Sunday was so great, and oh, Monday night was great, and all these things that are going on. I want you to know it's all over Facebook. I went, wow. It almost got me to think, maybe I should open a Facebook. I'm not there yet. And this talk, and it's what we're sharing, and it's what's coming out of our mouth and out of our heart and what we're thinking about and what we're talking about. I'm not talking about ignoring the things that are challenging or bad. They need our attention, but they're not supposed to overwhelm us and master us. It's all about perspective. Look at Matthew 17. Matthew 17, Jesus is speaking. And if we can go to verse 20. Matthew 17, verse 20. He says, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, this is about perspective. Because you and I always, almost always, get intimidated by size. Size of the problem. Size of the hurt, size of the opposition. It's like the size of a mountain. And yet Jesus says, if we have faith the size of a mustard seed. Listen, the seed compared to all that earth of a mountain, it's a huge size difference. It's a huge size difference. It's not about size. Listen, I have been reminded of something lately as I've been spending a little more time at the barn and with horses. Spending more time with the horse. Now, this horse is, I don't know, I'll just ballpark. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about this particular horse. It's just any adult horse. You know, it's 1,100 pounds. You know, and I'm about 130. What are you laughing at? Oh, did I say 130? Okay, 230. I'm sorry, that was just a, whoops. You know, I'm not a huge boy, but I'm not a small boy, you know. Probably around 2:30-ish in the mornings before I eat. That's a big number. Ooh. Well, I'm reminded of something. Throwing these halters on the horse, taking the lead rope, walking them out to pasture paddock, putting them back in the stable, tacking them up, doing whatever with these horses. Going in the stall with them. Getting them hay, oats, mucking stalls. If you're not sure what that is, you go talk to Bob Frisky. He's got some he's got some work for you to do. Not with horses, but he'll break you in. I'm reminded of something as I'm in there with these animals that are, you know, 1,100 pounds more, some less. I'm thinking, you know, they're following me, and I've got this halter on them, and it doesn't have a bit, you know, nothing in their mouth. It's just this halter, and you put a lead rope on it, and you lead it around, or you get it to stop, and you get it to move around. And I think, you know, if they wanted to, they could just take me for a ride. They could just drag me, kick me. If they don't want to move, they don't have to move. They do not have to move. And if you think pushing against 1,100 pounds of living tissue is going to move them, you don't know horses. This thing could, I mean, if it really, Ross, I know that I'm right about this, but he's a horseman. Ross, if this thing wanted to kill me, it could kill me. I'm think about this. I am in this stall. What is it, like 14 by 14 or something? Something like that? Less? Less? Okay, less. 12 by 12-ish. 12 feet by 12 feet. Randy, you know what I'm talking about. You go inside there with this horse, and then the stall that my horse is in, it's got this slider door, and it's, you know, it's heavy wood on the bottom, and then it's got this metal rail like prison bars. And I'm thinking, I've thought this. I'm going in here. The horse has no halter or lead rope on. I'm going in here. It has food. I'm going in here, and I'm closing this door. Now, a man at 230 in my age doesn't move fast either. And I'm locking myself in a 12 by 12 with 1,100 pounds. I'm telling you, I've thought about this stuff. I think this, if this horse knew what it could do to me, I may not leave this stall. But then I recognize something. This horse is bigger, I'm smaller, but all the authority sits right here. If I operate in it, and if I don't, the horse will take over, won't it, Jessie? And she is an accomplished rider, by the way. She's riding different horses out there all the time. My sweet little Abigail. She's out there on horses. She's out there on Piglet, right? Riding Piglet. A horse called Piglet. Stand up, Abigail. This is a sweet young little girl. Little lady. Yes, you are. You can sit back down, hon. She's out there riding, you know, 800, 900 pound, 1,000 pound horse. It's about authority. And it's about walking in it and stepping in it. And if we remember who God is and what His Word says, and we face mountains, but if we have this much authority like a mustard seed, it's not about size. It's about authority. That's what it's about. I'll tell you what, one of the most pleasurable moments for me with this horse was when it stepped on my foot. That wasn't the pleasurable part. It stepped on my foot because it was crowding me when we're walking. And I got my foot out and I turned around with my boot and I kicked it right in what you would call the shin. The horse hasn't stepped on my foot again. Now that horse could step on me anytime it wants. Now don't you run out to the barn and tell this horse, because I don't want this horse to realize what it could do to me. It's about authority. Now I want you to put this in perspective in your life, because some of us in this room, we face big challenges. And we look at the size of that mountain and we get intimidated. And then we complain about this mountain. We live around this big challenge and this big mountain in our life all the time. And all we do is complain about this mountain, and it's always there. Now, it's, you know, and this is bad, and this is bad. And, oh, look, and now there's two mountains. Oh, I might as well just have a whole mountain range problems. And I just, oh, and it's bad, and I'm frustrated, and this ain't right. And, you know, and this person didn't do that, and this person did that. And that mountain wouldn't exist if that person wouldn't have hurt me, or they wouldn't have abused me, or they wouldn't have mistreated me, or they wouldn't have, and we come up, and then, you know, all this stuff. And we just complain, and we gripe, and yet we call ourselves Christian, and we say we have faith in God, and listen, mountains are real. Challenges are real. But so is faith. And faith causes us to move. And we have faith because God has revealed himself to us, and we begin to think about who he is and what he says, and that I can have perfect peace if I let his words and promises come out of my mouth. And they entertain my mind, and I discipline my thoughts, and then I walk into real life with real mountains and real challenges that are too big for me, and I'm so small. But then I remember it's about authority. The authority over my thoughts, the disciplining of my thoughts, the discipline about what comes out of my mouth, and that I can face my mountains. Because all of that builds faith. His word, it builds faith. And the more I talk it and the more I think about it, the more I understand it, the more that it's in me. And that's what's going to come out of me when things try to budge me. But if all I have is complaints, frustration, negativity, oh, I'm just going to keep cultivating the hurt. You know, I'd be so much different if Uncle So-and-so or this teacher or this person or that didn't say that or do that to me. And all, and those things are real. I'm not minimizing them. But what I'm telling you is we don't have to continue to live under the tyranny and the control of those things. Jesus Christ has made us a new creation. The old has passed away. Stop living there. Your mind will remember. But you and I do not have to live under its power, under its influence. We begin to meditate on God's word. We get to think about his word. We get to say his word. We get to say his promises. And all of a sudden, our perspective begins to change. We recognize the mountain, but we know because of God, we have faith and can move in authority against that which is in our way, whether it's an internal thing or an outward thing. Our perspective is warped when we begin to glorify the mountain and continue to complain and how bad it is and how tough it is and all of these things. If we're going to be people of revival and we're supposed to be people of the gospel, which is good news, then how come so much bad news comes out of our mouth? Some of us, we think, oh, life just hasn't changed. It's just been so tough. It's always tough. It's always tough. And granted, life is tough. All of us know that. I know that. But if all I talk about is how bad life is and how tough it is and this is wrong and that's wrong and rah, 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 I'll be quiet and praise. Joy will cease. I wear the label Christian, but the way I look, the way I act, the way I talk does not match the title. And we're supposed to be heralders of the good news. Evangelical. We face real life. You face real life. But you want the peace of God? You say, all this is always going on all the time. I would just like a rest. I just like peace. Here's the peace that you and I are supposed to have. The peace that we have is not supposed to make sense compared to what we face. Because a person in our situation shouldn't have peace because the mountains are too big. But through God and who He is and what He says brings peace to me in the midst of a mountain. That's a person who understands, knows God, walks with God, trusts God, believes God, still sees the mountain, but moves ahead in faith. Because what comes out of their mouth is His word, who He is, what He's done, what He's doing, what we're believing Him for. And all of a sudden, when we live like that, it's amazing. People like to be around us. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, life is bad in the church. I don't have any friends. And well, I've been gone for a long time. Why don't we look at where we're meditating and what we're saying? And let's go for the transformation through Jesus Christ. And you may watch some friendships grow that are good, that are right. And it comes back to this. What is on our mind? What am I thinking about? Let's discipline ourselves and our mind. This is not a mind game. It's not a trick. So God says, you want to be successful? You want to know peace? Then know my word. Meditate on it and let it come out of your mouth. And you will know perfect peace. Let's stand up together all over this room. Would you do me a favor and just maybe close your eyes and bow your head right where you stand? You're here. And life's been unfair to you. You were hurt somewhere, mistreated. Maybe you really feel like the victim in every facet of your life. Let me ask you something. How long are you going to stay there? I'm not being snotty with you. I'm not being hard with you. It's this. It's that there is another way to live. And it has been provided for you. You and I just got to pick up the disciplines to walk in what's been given us. How long will you stay there? How long are you going to let this stuff rob you, or you're going to give away the power of joy, and you're going to give away all this stuff because it just seems so long and so big? Maybe you have a history of broken relationship. Listen, that does not have to determine your future. It does not. God is one who restores, who heals, who reconciles, who leads us in life. And if we will let His word come out of our mouth and our mind think upon what His word says, and who He is, He'll give us peace. It doesn't matter what your history's been. What matters from this point is what our future is. So it matters. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. How long are we going to get wrapped up in blaming other people? And certainly, they've had maybe fault in it. But you know what? Let God deal with that. You move on. Start thinking straight. Start thinking straight. Start talking straight. This stuff will give you authority against mountains and challenges in your life. And don't be intimidated by the size. Faith, oh, mustard seed moves mountains. What have you been thinking about? Would you please start thinking about what's true? What's noble? Think about what's right. Think about what's pure. What's lovely. What's admirable. If there's anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. If you've learned anything or received anything from God, then put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. As your head's bowed and eyes are closed all over this room, you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, I'm doing okay, but I don't really have the peace of God. But I sure want it. In some areas I'm doing all right, but in other areas it's a total destruction. It's turbulent. It preoccupies my mind, and yet I don't want to think about it. It's like if I could just rid myself of this, but you don't have peace, the peace of God. I want to just pray for you this morning, right here in this room before we leave. But I want to know who I'm praying for. And you're saying, that's me. Well, everybody else has got their head bowed. Would you just slip your hand up so I know who I'm praying for and say, you know what, I need the peace of God. Yes, 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 yes. Keep your hands up. Yeah, keep them up. I don't want to miss anybody. I want to just, yeah. There's people all over this room. Yeah, you can put your hand down. Thanks for being honest with me. Thanks for taking that risk and trusting me with saying, yeah, Randy, that's me. I don't take that lightly, and I don't want to take advantage of it. But I want to pray for you. Here it is. I'm going to pray for you. And God's going to answer. And God's going to move on your behalf in your life. I guarantee it. I promise it. Because it's who He is. But if it doesn't work out, let me finish. We need to look at what we're not doing to partner with what He's given us. Am I in His Word and where I think about it, not just at devotion time and Bible reading time, do I think about it during the day at different times and at night? And then am I careful to do what's in His Word? See, if we do those things, then success and peace will begin to lead us. And He will provide for you and play out in your life, if we do our part, the overcoming. He's made you more than a conqueror. Nothing in your past is insurmountable. You hear me. Nothing in your past is insurmountable. You can live above it and beyond it in Christ, if you will look to His Word and let it come out of your mouth. That's what you got to do. So that's your part in partnering with what God will do through His action by our prayers. So you let Him do it now, but you got to partner with Him. After I say amen, you got to walk out with a commitment. I'm gonna be reading His Word. I'm going to think about His Word day and night. I'm going to think about things that apply to my life. I'm going to do this. And if you will do that, then you will walk in the provision of what God has given and purchased for you. And nothing in your past is insurmountable. It can be conquered. Issues of the heart, relationships, all the stuff you're dragging with you with attitudes because of past life experience, all of it, just it can all be dropped.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.